and must applaud the UN and all those who had a role in the declaration of an International Day for People of African Descent. It's a day to acknowledge and remember the historic and ongoing triumphs, as well as struggles of people of African descent to achieve human rights. As a Jamaican, I have to comment that the date was chosen because in 1920, more than 20,000 people attended Marcus Garvey's first UNIA convention in New York. And the convention produced a declaration of quote-unquote Negro rights, which denounced lynching, segregated public transportation, job description, and inferior public schools. So Marcus Garvey is Jamaica's first national hero.
How does the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, CERD, which you chair, work to take action against racism? And what are its key achievements in advancing justice for people of African descent?
Of course, with the interactive dialogue with states parties, we bring attention to the issue of racial discrimination in particular countries. We work together with states to see how that can end. We also make statements, and we have an early warning urgent action procedure. And that procedure takes into consideration incidents of racism, racial profiling, racialized motives in killings, wherever they occur, and write to the states to denounce and to ask for action. We also have individual communications where those who feel aggrieved can write to us. And we have our group of lawyers consider the case and make a decision.
At the start of the current session of the committee, which was just a few weeks ago, you said that while the work of the committee was important, it was not easy. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you meant by that comment?
The convention defines racial discrimination: any distinction, exclusion, restriction, or preference based on race, color, descent, or national or ethnic origin, which has the purpose or effect of nullifying or impairing the recognition, enjoyment, or exercise on an equal footing of human rights and fundamental freedoms in all spheres, political, economic, social, cultural, or any other field of public life. So we are working hard on all fronts. We make recommendations on the protection of the rights of people of African descent. But yet, as you look around the world, you see the continuation of racialized motives in killing, we see racial profiling increasing, and even within the education system, we see that some universities in some countries are going back, I think, on the gains we made in terms of ensuring that we diversify the curriculum to take on board the history of people of African descent and also teach the reasons for racial discrimination, racial profiling. So yes, we have made some gains, but we have a far way to go because the global landscape does not seem to be marching in step with us in terms of the pace we'd like to see in addressing racial discrimination, anti-Black racism that some are now calling Afrophobia or Afrophobia.
Since the murder of George Floyd by a police officer over 3 years ago, do you see a rise in awareness of states and government officials with whom you interact as part of the dialogues at the committee about the need to put an end to police brutality against people of African descent and put an end to impunity?
I think that the states parties that interact with us understand the need to eradicate police brutality. But not all states are implementing legislative changes, enshrining in their constitution, or even stepping up the training of law enforcement officials so that we can stop seeing these profiling and killings that are going on right now. We have tried also through the elaboration of General Recommendation 36 on preventing and combating racial profiling by law enforcement officials to address this issue, how to educate police, raise awareness among law enforcement officials so that we can together eradicate police brutality. We would want to see, for example, more legislation to address hate crime and hate speech, because if we don't criminalize hate speech, we're not going to be able to address this trigger. Hate speech is a trigger to anti-Black racism and acts against people of African descent around the world. We would want to raise awareness in the society, in the education system, so that we can address the roots of racism and racial discrimination that lead to police brutality.
So that point about education is obviously very important. Another key issue that you have been tackling is about the right to health. And the CERT has been gathering input to new guidance, a new draft general recommendation that you're preparing on racial discrimination and the right to health. Why is this an urgent issue for the committee right now? And could you tell us what's in the proposal?
If we want to identify a trigger for the efforts that are being made now to elaborate this new recommendation, it would be the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic. What we noticed was the disproportionate impact of the pandemic on groups vulnerable to racial discrimination in terms of higher levels of morbidity and mortality. We can't allow this to go unattended. And I know that many mechanisms paid attention to this. When you think of the historic racial injustices of slavery and colonialism that remain largely unaccounted for today, and when we see the disproportionate attention to the health of people of African descent, then we have to link these two, and we have to make this an urgent action for the committee. The draft builds upon the evidence-based link between racial discrimination as a structural social determinant, as recognized by WHO, and the right to health, not only for people of African descent, but for Indigenous peoples and ethnic minorities.
I wanted to ask you now a little bit more about your personal experience as a woman of African descent and as a historian, a social historian, very recognized academic. How does this experience shape your own advocacy against racial discrimination?
I'm going to quote Marcus Mosiah Garvey again, because he said, "History is a landmark by which we are directed into the true course of life. The history of a movement, the history of a nation, the history of a race is the guidepost of that movement's destiny, that nation's destiny, that race's destiny." So this is my life. I had to make allowances so that the history I learned and the history I had to unlearn shaped my understanding of the roots of racial discrimination, especially anti-Black racism. History has been my guidepost, and I'm happy I studied history, because having understood where I came from, what my ancestors went through, I decided that I had a responsibility. It strengthened my resolve to educate people about it. So I was a university lecturer, later senior lecturer and professor at the University of the West Indies for about 30 years. And so I used my platform as a teacher to educate successive groups of students about the roots of our condition, the historical reasons for our condition, so that it can equip them, one, to increase their understanding, but two, to become advocates themselves to fight racial discrimination. And as a woman, as a Black woman, I also understood from the education I got that women of African descent suffer disproportionately from the terrorism of chattel enslavement. And therefore, that became an added reason for me to be an advocate to end racial discrimination, anti-Black racism. And then later on, when I got the opportunity to join the international community to fight racial discrimination. Also, I must add the fact that even though I'm in the international community trying to fight racism along with other colleagues, as a woman of African descent, as a Black woman, I am also profiled. And that adds to my experience and my resolve to join others to fight racial discrimination.